everybody. Welcome back. It is another episode of Dadcast. I am JP. He is Nick Martin. How are you, bud?
What's up? I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. You know, you mentioned off the air that you never see me in anything other than a hoodie or a t-shirt. So
I know,
you know, I mixed it up a little bit going flannel action today. And I like it. I dig it.
You look good.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Today on the show, man, the stars, they keep coming to Dadcast and we love it. You may know of him from such amazing television shows such as Treehouse Masters that aired on Animal Planet a few years back. On the show today, the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Pete Nelson. How are you, sir?
Why, wonderful, especially with an introduction like that. Thank you,
Pete. You are very welcome, man. We're very glad you're here on the show. If you weren't aware of what Dadcast is, the premise is, for the most part, we like to talk our journey as fathers, you know, from the beginning, the middle, and everything in between leading up to this very moment that we are together today. Now, I do have to forewarn you, however, we do tend to go off the rails sometimes on this show, and by tend to, every single time. So just be forewarned.
Excellent. I tend to digress myself, so if I start going too far off, just bring me back.
Fair enough. I'll just reel you back in, man. All right. Very first question. It is the rite of passage here on Dadcast, and since Nick hasn't said a word yet, I'm going to let Nick ask it.
Are you a dad?
I am certainly a dad. My goodness, I am a dad three times over and now a grandfather to two grandkids. And
oh, that's awesome.
It's just the best.
Awesome. How old are your kids? Boys, girls, all that good stuff.
I have a daughter, Emily, 32 years old, basically my boss. And I only half jokingly say she's firm but fair. And I appreciate it. And my twin boys just turned 30 in May, Henry and Charlie, and they're both treehouse builders out there and, you know, being carpenters. And in fact, I've got Charlie right here nearby. I hope he's not listening. Oh, man, he might be listening here.
You can bring him on to say hi if you want.
Yeah, it's okay. Well, bring him on.
You over there? Oh, he's there. Bring him in. Bring him in.
2.5 minutes in and we're getting a guest appearance with Charlie.
Come in and say hello.
What's to Charlie up?
Nelson.
How's it going, Charlie? I was just wanting to see if you appreciated my treehouse that I'm in right now.
Oh, yeah, that's wicked.
It's pretty impressive, huh?
That is impressive,
yeah. 10-second Google search background later. Here we go.
Well done, you're a prop.
Do we let him go now? I mean, we're probably going to get deep about this guy. Maybe we should send him into the yard and he can get back to work.
Yeah, get back to work. But if you can keep an ear out, you might get a little bit of gold from dad that you can either use for blackmail material in the future or, you know, use as a really good source for that Christmas card coming up. You never know.
All right. I'll stick around.
All right.
No.
Right. So I find another question that immediately pops up into my head is, Pete, how old were you when you had your first child? Because what, were you like 10, 12? Oh, you're looking good, man.
Kind words. Wow. Listen to you, JP. I'm already in love with you, man. let's do the math. 62, I was born. I turned 60 this year. Uh-oh. And 1990 was Emily. So easy math, 28.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So let's take you back to that 28 or 32 and a half years ago, give or take. You were, you know, it was a fateful day, and you were notified somehow, some way that you were, in fact, going to become a dad for the very first time. Can you remember those emotions, the feelings that went through that day?
Oh, yeah. No, I'll never forget, of course. And I was in Seattle. At the time, I was building single-family houses, and they were always a very stressful deal. I was, you know, fairly new to the area. I moved from where we went to school. My wife and I met in Colorado, and she decided Seattle was the place to be. And I thought, oh my gosh, rainy and wet. But the deal was made that I could be a contractor, single family house, build them. You know, I had a mentor in Colorado Springs that did just this. And I thought, what a great gig. And so nonetheless, I'm you know, always fighting the rain and the scary, you know, possible issues when you're opening up a big foundation. And when Emily was born in February, we were in the middle of a winter, and I'll never forget being on the side of this hill in Seattle with the rain coming down and thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I've got trouble here. This could all just cave in on me. And then got the call that, in fact, Judy is in labor, and boom, everything just melted away. And I got to go to the hospital and be with her, and it changed everything. Emily Nelson came out firing. I mean, it was a 33-hour labor, though. Oh. It was one of those, you know, poor Jude. And yet it was, you know, that life-changing thing. And it was forever after one of the greatest, truly greatest moments, surely in any dad's life. But Emily is one special person, and little did I know how much my life would change when she was born.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah.
In a good way.
I don't think any of us ever truly do realize that until it actually happens. So dads out there or soon to be dads, or someone watching this show right now who's never even given it a second thought, it's not scary. It's, again, the greatest thing that has ever happened to me. I can attest for Nick as well. And you just heard Pete say it as well. So don't be afraid of it, man. It's the greatest adventure that has ever been bestowed upon me, man. And yeah, that's great.
You get afraid of it when they're 2 and 3 years old. That's when you start to see, that's when it gets scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, no one said it wasn't scary.
Yeah.
They start talking back. They start getting a personality.
Oh man.
Now was Emily when in her early teens, did you have any issues? Was there any pushback? Was there the typical, teenager stuff with you?
I think the hardest part for me, and I guess it's obviously it's different for everyone, but I mean, in general, I feel like your daughters look up to their dads, you know, they're even in their teens. I remember Emily still, it's a strong word, but she showed a certain reverence for her father, whereas it was not the same with her mother. And that was torturous. I mean, both for me to see and for Judy, my sweet wife, who's, you know, probably also right there. So, but true to say that she is a true angel of a person, just beyond kind and patient. And she had a daughter that really was so fiery, and, you know, I watched the interaction there and just felt like, oh God, this is tough. I mean, this is, I guess, fairly common. You know, sometimes daughters and moms butt heads a bit. And so I was, it felt to me anyway, like I was apart from that and had this special stature in their inner teens, you know, and this evaporated soon thereafter, I would have to say. But you know, it was a tough time. Daughters and dads, there's a special bond. Sometimes daughters and moms, obviously they have their special bonds too, and they certainly do now. I mean, I can tell you, you know, fast forward to her age at this point and talk about reverence. I mean, Emily absolutely worships the ground, as she should, that her mother walks on.
Yeah. Well, I'm in the middle of it. Nick is in the middle of it. My oldest is going to be 18 in December. So she has been, we are thick in that pushback phase of her life, and Nick as well, you know. But we're looking forward to the fact that we're now hopefully on the downhill portion back to where she's going to love us again.
Yeah. They say in their early 20s that begins to show itself. And so, yeah, that's a long way off, guys. I'm sorry.
And I've got my 9-year-old, my baby girl, to look forward to too for all that. There's a little, I have to show, there's a.
Well, is she got a.
She's smelling a rose.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah, I got that to look forward to.
Tell me now, JP, you've got 3 or 2?
Three kids. I have 2 daughters and a son. Well, the oldest is my stepdaughter, but you know, it's my daughter for all intents and purposes.
Sure.
Her dad's in the life. He's a great guy. So she's got 2 dads, my 12-year-old son and my 9-year-old baby girl. Oh. And if you ask Nick the same question, it might take us the rest of this hour to get through, but go ahead, Nick.
Tell us, Nick.
So I have 6 kids and a baby on the way. So,
oh my gosh. Fantastic. Yeah,
I'll have 7 in January.
Congratulations. That's
I can only imagine. Yeah. It's weird. I was almost done. My youngest is 16 now, or was 16. And then we decided to have more. And
Almost done, son. You were done.
I was done. I was.
So there's a 16-year gap here?
There's a 16-year gap, yeah. Well, 14-year gap. So I have a 2-year-old, and then we have a newborn that will be born on January 31st.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
So, yeah.
Miracles.
Yeah, it's definitely weird jumping back into the whole being a dad of little ones kind of thing where, you know, it's like it's accustomed to jumping in the car, going wherever I want to go, when I want to go, and vacation.
Yeah. Not so much, no.
No, we try to go out to dinner with the 2-year-old. It's a whole new ball game. It's
like, go to Red Rock. Do I remember? It's a vague memory, but yeah, it was. My wife says that she can't remember the first 3 years. Once the twins were born, that period of her life was pretty much gone in terms of her memory. Oh, very vague memories.
Now, when it comes to having your twins, the boys, how different is it? The dynamic between raising in your personal experience, the dynamics raising a daughter versus raising a son, because you know they're both in the house. But I know I speak from experience. I don't mean to, but they get treated differently.
You know, I think so. What we loved watching so much was Emily was always a take charge kid. I mean, even by the time the boys were born, she was 2 and, she just instantly was in love with these 2 boys that showed up in her life and just thought, okay, she's the mama duck and she's going to start, you know, getting these kids in line. And, you know, I just remember so clearly when they were a little bit older, you know, how she would teach them, you know, she was the teacher and they were the kids and they were, you know, they were engaged. They weren't like maybe the most ideal pupils for the teacher at that very young age. And yet Emily was patient and, you know, of course, we've got these great videos. We had a little video camera even back there in the earliest of 90s. And we every now and then visit them and see how, you know, we'd be taking our standard home videos and Emily would invariably be there just like pushing into the scene and grabbing her little brothers and just squeezing them, you know, just like and, you know, just dragging them around. It was just like they were dolls or something. She would just manhandle them and so cute. And she, you know, right from the beginning loved her brothers. And it's clear to this day. I mean, it's just such a wonderful dynamic. And so we really had this extraordinary time. I mean, again, Judy did a lot of the work. I mean, she was breastfeeding all 3 of these kids and I'll never forget waking up at that feeding hour, you know, in the middle of the night and look over and I just have this darts of her eyes coming down at me going, look at this, what you've created. And nothing much we could do as fathers, but we could just sympathize, I guess. And yet, you know, with Emily, they're almost helping. I mean, I think Judy might chime in to say something different, but I always thought how wonderful it was to have that daughter that really was kind of taking charge and helping, you know, really, really helping. And I'm sure it wasn't always help, but she was always right there in the thick of it, sometimes stirring it up too. And
Of course that was leading me to my next question. Yeah. You're making it sound like, you know, butterflies and rainbows, but any sibling rivalry there? Come on.
Oh man. No, the boys. Well, you can imagine the boys that age of, as we were talking about earlier, the teenage years were really hard. I mean, with the boys starting to swing, they're tall. I'm 6'3" and they're right there with me. And, you know, as 14-year-olds, they're gangly, you know, skinny as 6 o'clock and they, you know, when you're trying to break things up, it got hairy, you know, you're getting in there to say, Hey,
yeah. And
it was, boy, that was probably the toughest period, you know, in terms of, you know, things getting, you know, shaken up was in those teenage years with the boys when they were rivals and trying to, I don't know, get each other's goat. And man, Charlie was able to press Henry's buttons just with the most simple words. And Henry had a short fuse, still does. But boy, he could get to him quick. And when things spiraled, Yeah, guys, you know, I don't know how detailed one wants to get in these things, but it's not pretty. And, you know, tears, my wife especially, just like, oh, what? How is this happening?
It's for lack of a better way to put it, it's normal, you know? Yeah. You know, yeah. It depends on how crazy it gets, you know, but I mean, it's happening. My it's almost backwards in my family. My littlest, Avery, the 9-year-old, she knows how to push big brother's buttons. She doesn't even need to push the button. She can just look at him a certain way and buttons are pushed. And then it's all chaos in the house. And, you know, I've got a good, she's 9. So we got 9 more years to look forward to of that. Give or take.
Yeah, no kidding.
You know, but it's 50-50. You know, it's a lot of love and it's a lot of rivalry and a lot of pushing buttons. But I like to take a moment when it's all happening, try not to get angry, because one day, not far off, I'm going to miss that. Mm. And I put that in my head when it's happening, and it helps a little bit, a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited to see the rivalry between Liam and his little baby sister, to see kind of how that dynamic goes.
It's going
to
be just like Sawyer and Avery, man. They're about the same age difference. It's you'll see.
He's like a total mama's boy, and he's like super sensitive, but he's also like super sharp and like, who knows? I have a feeling Sophie's going to be just a total pain in the butt and kind of a little diva that's just.
That's mean.
You're describing my family to a T right there, Nick.
Yeah, I'm scared.
So Pete, is Emily your daughter? Is she the one who provided you with a grandchild?
She is.
Okay.
Two, as a matter of fact.
So she's the only one with the kids then.
That's right.
I mean, I like to put myself in other people's shoes and their experiences. That is one experience that I can wait for, mind you. But at the same time, I'm so looking forward to that emotion and that feeling when your daughter brings a child into this life, your blood bringing in new blood. How is that for you? I mean, that's got to be the most greatest thing ever.
Astounding. You know, it just, I'd always heard, and as you have, how wonderful it is. And, you know, the idea that when you're done, you can just give them back.
Yep.
That is so true. And I mean, their little Douglas is 3.5. Let's see. He was born January. So coming up on 4. And then Sally, named after my mom, is 1.5, born in May. And these kids just melt your heart, both of them. And you know, Douglas was going through a little stage this last year or so where I wasn't as cool as he thought I was the year before, you know?
Okay.
And so, that was a little heartbreaking. You know, I'm like, oh, I can't believe that I'm responding in the way that I am, which is like, oh, you little twerp, come on. But you know, he's back in a big sense, in that he's reengaged. My nickname that he came up with, I love, is Duda. So Duda is back, and I'm enjoying just the most amazing things. Like the other day he said, geez, Duda, I got a hangnail. I'm like, a hangnail? What? How do you know about a hangnail? And I'm not sure I even know what a hangnail is, but there's little Douglas, you know, he's advanced. You know, I think these kids, it appears to me that these kids are going to be able to solve the world's problems. I mean, they are so sharp, and I'm stunned by what this 3.5-year-old is telling me. And I'm listening to him, watching him, you know, the way he behaves in this crazed world of ours. And he's smooth and cool as a cucumber. And I think the things that come out of his mouth, I just have faith now that, okay, these kids, they're going to grow up and fix all that we have messed up.
I certainly hope so. Does Douglas get screen time, you know, iPads, iPhones type thing? Is he smart with that?
Yeah, he does.
There you go. Same with my kids. You wonder how they get so smart. Well, yeah. I mean, the entirety of collectively the world's knowledge and information that has ever happened can be grabbed right there with one of these nowadays. And here we are still looking at cat videos, but it's just amazing that, you know, they can do that through there. I got a pro tip for you, Pete. The next time little Douglas decides you're not cool anymore, just randomly throw in an old episode of Treehouse Masters and put it on TV and then have him walk by and be, look, is it Doodah? Doodah's on TV. Doesn't get much cooler than that.
You know, we pulled that out about a year ago, and it was magic. It was just so fun to see his response. And like, there's mom, you know, she, there's Doodah. Oh, wait, there's dad, you know, because Patrick, his father, is in quite a few episodes. So it was just such a delight to see that kid suddenly go, wait a minute. Wait, that's you guys. Awesome.
So I've worked radio for the past 20 years of my life, still do. And you know, within a 40 square mile radius of my hometown where I live here, you could say I'm kind of famous. Now I get out of that square miles and I'm just, you know, no one knows who I am, but it's funny to see my son in particular's reaction. I don't think there's a day that we go out in public where someone recognizes me or says hello or whatnot. And he's finally gotten used to it. But at the beginning, he thought it was the greatest thing ever. And of course I beamed and thought it was great. It happened in Vegas, Nick, too.
Did it?
Yeah. Someone recognized me, I think from the podcast now. Nice. With Sawyer, and my son's name is Sawyer, and he's just
great name.
Shakes his head, looks at me, goes, we can't even, it's starting to happen now, Dad. You're not even at home anymore. But yeah,
and it was like that last time that I went to Vegas before I got sick, and I was using the gym, and the girl at the gym counter was like, oh my God, you're one of the dads from Dadcast, and took me into the better gym with the NFL players. I was like, yes.
Wow,
that's awesome.
There that's you
and then she told me, don't take any pictures. So I was like, all right.
How long have you been doing the Dadcast, guys?
Almost 2 years.
Yeah.
Okay. No, actually we're over 2 years now. We're a little over 2 years.
Okay.
Yep.
This came to you obviously then during the beginnings of COVID, and you thought maybe we should just, you know, capitalize on this Zoom stuff or something.
I wasn't really capitalizing on it. It was more of a, we both had personal stuff going on and kind of a way to blow off steam. And
well, let's tell him. We haven't spoken about it in a while, so this would be
I'd love to hear that story.
So Nick, no, go ahead, Nick, you tell yours. I'll tell mine.
All right. So my son, my 2-year-old, was born in the middle of COVID and ended up in the NICU, and I didn't get to see him.
Oh,
so because of all the hospital regulations and stuff, we had to make a decision. Do we just let him go by himself and my wife and I come home? And we were like, absolutely not. One of us has to stay. So my wife stayed. I went back to work and took care of the other kids. And I got to see him for an hour a week after the first 3 weeks. So the first 3 weeks, there was no contact. And then after that, I was at 1 hour a week, and I had to get all dressed up in the COVID safe crap that they had us wear, so I looked like an alien going in there. And that lasted about 3 months, and then when he got out of the hospital, he didn't know who I was, so it took a long time to bond with him. And then JP was going through some stuff, so JP.
My lady at the time was diagnosed with breast cancer, and my lady at the time, let me emphasize the fact it is still my lady. It has been for 13 years, the mother of our children. But at the time she was diagnosed with breast cancer, very aggressive, and ended up having a double mastectomy. And that's tough. I mean, I can't even imagine a woman having to go through such a thing. She has beaten it. Today it is still gone. So good news. But at the time, there was a very, you know, a year stretch where we don't know. And this, she had this surgery and this checkup and that treatment and this and that, along with Nick going through his issues with Liam in the hospital. So we came together and said, he's been trying to push me to do a podcast for
a while,
probably a year or two prior to even that happening. This was just the stars aligning to where, okay, let's start a podcast where we can initially just talk with each other and blow off some steam, and we'll see what happens. But we needed to come up with a name, because you can't just start a podcast and just talk about whatever. And I came up with the name Dadcast. We're two dads, and it has snowballed into what it is now, where two dads get to interview other celebrity dads about being dads. And here we are. And it's, you are real close to episode 100. I think you're going to end up being number 99.
That's a big mark.
100. It is. 100's getting there.
That's huge. We did a little over 100 episodes with the Treehouse Masters show, and I remember being really proud to get past that 100 and all the other marks, you know, the 75, 90, and I was keeping track, and I know you guys are because it's work, you know, it's hard work that you do, and it's really fun when you get it in the can, so to speak.
Yes, sir. And so we got 100 coming up. Now, I don't know what the next milestone to be excited about is. Is it 200? Probably not. Is it 500? Sounds good, but I think 1,000 is the next one where we go,
I don't know.
You know what I mean? Now.
Cut yourself some slack. 250.
250. Okay. Yeah. Episode 250. Okay, I'm planting the seed then. We're going to have Pete Nelson back, and you're going to be episode 250.
Oh, anytime.
How about them apples? There we go. Love that. Okay, so we do these episodes in two parts.
Okay.
So with that being said, don't go anywhere. Mr. Pete Nelson, thank you so very much for coming on Dadcast. We've got a whole lot more to talk with you about, so everyone watching and listening worldwide, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thank you so very much. And please make sure to subscribe to that channel, YouTube, if you're watching it there. Comment, subscribe, like, do all the good things, and we will catch you next week with part two with Mr. Pete Nelson of Treehouse Masters. Have a great rest of your day, everyone.